But I found out the party crowd is definitely like 2 hours to 2.5 hours. Like, that's the party crowd in the half marathon. Those are the people that wanted the PBR.
The Diz Runs With Podcast, episode 255, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the Running with the Bears Marathon, Half Marathon, and 10K, which will be taking place this summer, Saturday, August the 20th, 2016, in beautiful Greenville, California. I'll be there, and I'll be speaking at the pre-race expo or pre-race event the night before the race, and I'd love to have you join me. There's still some slots available, specifically slots as a charity runner, and the minimum dollar amount isn't obnoxious. It's not that bad. I think it's about $500, and if you sign up to be a charity runner for the Running with the Bears Marathon or Half Marathon or the 10K, whichever event that floats your boat for this year, I will throw in a free custom training plan just for you, created just for you. So as my way of supporting you and supporting the Mountain Circle Family Services, which is the organization that is behind the Running with the Bears Marathon, and they're the organization that it's kind of, you know, that you're raising funds for. It's a charity based in California that helps out, you know, children and everybody that's involved with the foster care system. So if you're interested, if you've got some time and you're, you know, so inclined to train for a race that's happening in August, the race time temperatures will be great. You know, temps are usually in the high 40s, low 50s, so it'll be a great day to run. And if you'd like to you know, think about making a trip to California, I'd love to help out by writing your training plan. So if you're interested, check out runningwiththebears.org, sign up and let me know, and I'll get together working on a plan for you. So with that, let's get on with today's episode. Hey guys, my guest today is someone that I bumped into recently on Twitter, and after a quick scroll through her Twitter feed, I pretty much knew she'd be a fun person to have on the show. She's run a dozen or so marathons with a PR of 3:13:18. She does some coaching, and she recently launched her own podcast called I'll Have Another. So with that, it's time to go a few miles today with Miss Lindsay Hine. Thanks for joining us, Lindsay.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Definitely, definitely. And guys, if you want to check out Lindsay, if you haven't connected with her already, the website is lindsayhine.com, and that's Hine, H-E-I-N. And on Twitter, same thing, handle is at Lindsay Hine, again, H-E-I-N. And on Instagram, lindsayhine626. The links for all of those places to connect with her and anything else that we talk about today will be in the show notes for today's episode, which you'll be able to find at dizruns.com/255. So, Lindsay, the way we always start off on the show is with a simple question that sometimes has a simple answer and sometimes has it leads us down a rabbit hole that you could never even have predicted to begin with. And that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
So I would say my favorite distance to race is probably the marathon. Mm-hmm. Number one reason is because you don't have to run as fast. I think, you know, it goes back all the way back to high school when I was running, you know, track and cross country. I always dreaded speed sessions and shorter distances made me nervous. And obviously you still have to train with speed sessions if you want to run a fast marathon time, but the actual race itself is more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Until about mile 18. but I just, it's, to me, it's less stressful to think of like, I'm just running at this pace that's fairly comfortable until it starts hurting, instead of like a 5K or really a 10K is my most dreaded race distance where you just have to be in a lot of pain the entire time.
So 10K is worse than a 5K for you. I
think so.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because the I feel like, and I haven't raced, I actually have never, I don't think, raced a 10K specific race. I've done a race here locally in town called the Firecracker 6, which is exactly 6 miles instead of 6.2. But that race, to me, it was one of my best executed races in the past, you know, like 5 years. But it was so hard for me to gauge, okay, this is going to start hurting about mile 2 or 3. Like, I'm really working hard. And at 4, like, this is when I have to really, really push and it's just going to hurt and I just have to go to the finish line, you know? Whereas a 5K, it's like, okay, fast the whole time, but I can wrap my head around fast for 3 miles a little bit easier than six.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I guess I'm kind of more the opposite. Like there's nothing about the 5K that appeals to me. Like, and maybe I've just psyched myself out of it so much that I'm just like, I don't want to hurt for those three miles and just go, you know, as hard as I can. And for the 10K, maybe I just haven't run enough of them that it's like, you know, yeah, it's gonna hurt a little bit, but like, you know, you can kind of ease into the first couple of miles a little bit and then really have to drop the hammer for the last three or four before, I don't know. It's they're both a little bit shorter than I would prefer. I think probably for the same reason that it's nice to go a little bit longer and have that plenty of time to warm up and ease into the race.
Yeah. I mean the 5K you're what you get like not even a half mile in and you're like, okay.
Yeah. Is this over already. With yet? Are we finished?
Yeah. Whereas a 10K, if you feel like that at the half mile in, you're in trouble.
Or you can readjust your sights at that point. And just be like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun.
That's true. You can always do that.
definitely. So you mentioned running track and cross country in high school. So obviously then you've been running for pretty much most of your life.
Yeah. So I started running. Well, I was always, you know, like an active kid in gymnastics and soccer and, you know, all those sports. But I, when I was a freshman in high school, my best friend was running on the cross country team and I was just like, okay, that doesn't sound like any fun at all. And she convinced me to join the team our sophomore year. And, oh, I had ran track our freshman year. And it was just for fun. It wasn't anything serious. But I started cross country our sophomore year. And I was, you know, I was like a fairly decent runner. I was never the top girl on our team or anything like that. But I was good enough for a I don't know. I guess you would call it a mid-sized school. I think I graduated with like 350 in my high school class, but so like 1,100 students total or something. I was decent and I was able to run on varsity and get competitive and all that stuff. So I ran all through high school. And then in college, I was happy to have a break. And, you know, I was kind of just burnout from racing, and racing always made me really nervous for, you know, more so than I feel like my peers. And so I worked out and exercised in college just to not gain a bunch of weight and, you know, just to be healthy. And I picked up running a little bit more seriously after college.
Gotcha. What were your events in high school?
Oh my gosh. Well, in track, I ran the mile and the 800 because I was stupid and I didn't like the thought of doing 3,200 around the track. Like 8 laps seemed like really far to run around the track.
So just go as hard as you absolutely possibly can.
Well, and I would have been, distance is just more my natural, you know, I'm better at that, right. But I didn't want to do it. And you know, the 3,200 was always the last race and of the meet. And I wanted to get my races done, but I really wasn't very good at the 800. Like that, it's just, I don't have that speed, but I wanted to do it because it was short and get it over with. And, then in cross country, actually, so I graduated high school in 2002 and women were still racing just a 4K then. So I did that for cross country.
And did you enjoy cross country more than track?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, really, and I think a lot of people will say this too, like the team aspect of cross country was just so special and just became really close friends with all the girls on the team. And I feel like cross country teams and a lot of sports probably have close-knit teams, but something about cross-country teams, you just get really close and it feels like a family, and that's what I loved about it so much.
Awesome. You know, one of the things that you mentioned kind of going through your you know, getting out of high school and not running in college was the nervous factor before a race. Is that something that you still deal with a little bit, or is it something that is kind of quelled as you've gotten a little bit older?
Yeah, I definitely still deal with it, which is funny because I coach lots of runners and, I mostly coach people that are running the marathon distance. And, you know, I always tell everybody that I coach, this is the fun part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to hurt. You can't get through a half marathon or a marathon running your fastest time or, you know, to the best of your ability if it doesn't hurt. Then you're not working hard enough, right? If that's what your goals are. I mean, if your goals are to finish and to just have fun, that's fine. But if you really want to get faster and run to your best potential, yeah, it's going to hurt. But it doesn't, it doesn't hurt the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. It really is. I mean, you put all that work in, you spend all that time training, and the end result is the race. And so if you're going to hurt any time during your workouts, the best, you know, do it during your race too. don't wuss out during your race, because that's when it's all paying off. So, but back to me, yeah, I do get nervous still, but I think it's more of a healthy nervousness, mm-hmm. and just kind of like, that's just what we're naturally, as humans, set up to be a little bit nervous when we're competing in something.
Right. Do you have any things that you do on a regular basis to try to help to just, you know, keep the nerves at the right level, keep them in the productive level, as opposed to going, you know, overboard on nerves and maybe, you know, having a bad race because of it?
I always just try to put everything into perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about like the world as a whole, and, you know, like, I know it sounds like a little bit too deep, but just like, this is just a race, you know,
right.
Like I want to work hard and I want to do well. And I know how good it feels to cross the finish line after you've really put it all out there and given it your all. But in the grand scheme of things, like, nobody really cares what I cross the finish line in. I mean, I care, but like, everybody else is just going to go on with their day.
Right.
And, you know, and there's, you know, bad things happening all over the world. And if I'm sitting here spending so much of my time stressing out about a race that I'm voluntarily putting myself into, that's just silly. So that's, I try to like really hone in on that a lot.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's something that sounds simple to do, but man, sometimes it can be tough. Like, especially if it's a big, you know, if it's like, I'm trying to BQ today, or I'm
right.
trying to hit some really big PR or milestone or whatever, like it can be a tough thing to do.
Totally. I agree. And I, you know, I haven't really honestly raced in a long time, because so I had a baby last January, so mm-hmm. January 2015. And just as I was ramping up my training, in the summer, so like my goal was to do a fall marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I had been dealing with plantar fasciitis for a while, and I ended up actually tearing my plantar fascia.
Mm.
Which is not a common injury, and
right.
it's brutal. So I had just started peeking out. Like, I had 10 weeks to go till the race, so I was just starting to get into the heart of training, and had put in a couple of really strong speed sessions and good long runs with some pace work in them. And I was on the treadmill one day. It was really hot out, so I was running inside, even though it was, you know, summer. And I was doing a 12-mile progression run. And I was so stupid to do this. I wore different shoes because I was thinking, it's not a 20-mile run, whatever. So I wore a different pair of shoes, and my foot started feeling weird about mile like 6 or 7. And about 10 miles in, it snapped. I could feel it happen. And I didn't realize how bad it was until, as the night went on, I really couldn't walk on my foot, and it turned black and blue at the bottom. But anyway, that's a 10 to 12 week recovery from to even like start jogging again. And I started back with like run 2 minutes, walk 2 minutes kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sad, because I was like, had my goal and I was ready to work hard. And it's funny, because all of 2014, when I was pregnant, my husband, he PR'd in the marathon, and he just had a really strong year of running. He did a 50 miler, his first one, and ran that really strong, and then PR'd in his marathon and did another 50 miler. And we kept saying, okay, 2015 is the year of Lindsay. Like, we're going to focus on your training, and he's going to take a back seat. And it just didn't happen.
It didn't work out. You know, it's one of those things where, like, my background is in athletic training. I've worked in college settings and high schools and clinics and the whole nine yards. And I've seen more plantar fasciitis issues than I could care to shake a stick at. But on the running side, you know, as a running coach, it's certainly beneficial to have done just about everything there is with plantar fasciitis and treatments and preventions and all that kind of stuff. But one of the running jokes that we've always had was just do a big jump and land and just snap that thing, and then and you'll be fine. And obviously we never really encouraged our athletes to really do that, but obviously that didn't work out so well. So like you said, you noticed it right away, but didn't realize it was that bad. What, did you just think that it was just irritated more? It was tearing it, even something that was on your radar of a possibility?
I knew that you could tear your plantar fascia, but I was, no. When it happened, I was just kind of like, ooh, I really pulled that a little too much. And what's crazy, and it's so, it's like, do as I say, not as I do. When it happened, I like kept running. And because I had like a mile to go, and I think that my goal was to get down to like 6:20 pace or something at the end of the run. And I was like, I am hitting these paces. And so I stupidly, like, my gait was off, like everything wasn't working right, 'cause I couldn't land on my foot right. But I was like, I'm getting this workout in no matter what. And, I don't think, obviously, finishing the last mile or whatever did not affect the end result of the tear, because it was torn. I felt it tear. I knew it tore. The only thing I was risking at that point was injuring something else. But yeah, so I know that's funny, because whenever I say, talk about it to anybody, they're like, oh, well, at least you fixed it yourself. You just tore it.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah. So, and I've never really struggled with it on my other foot, which is, a positive thing. If I ever do, I'll be really upsetting, because hopefully, the one on my right foot's the one I tore. Hopefully that won't come back now that I did tear it.
Right. What was there I don't even really know does it heal on its own? Or is it a surgery thing? What was the recovery like?
Yeah, I just had to rest it, and I couldn't really run on it at all. And then I was super nervous when I started running again, because it felt really weird. I was like, oh, am I going to hurt this worse? But I went to the foot doctor and got back in some really good orthotics. Mm-hmm. Like, I am 90 years old. And I just need them, though. I have really high arches and I pronate really bad. Mm-hmm. So that's just, not everybody needs orthotics, and probably they're, way overused, but I'm the person that needs them.
Yeah, right.
I said, when I step down, I feel it pull a little bit, and it just doesn't feel totally comfortable. And he said, there's no way you're going to tear that again. It's just scar tissue, and you're going to have to get used to it. And, just encouraged me to work on it, deep tissue kind of stuff a lot. And so, it feels okay now. Like, I'm running again. I'm not doing really speed work yet or anything like that, but, it feels fine now. I just, getting used to it.
Right. Kind of shifting gears a little bit, looking a little bit more recent history. Well, not more recent than the injury, but more recent than your, the way back running history. I noticed looking through your blog that you ran Boston a couple years ago, and listeners of the show know that Boston is a huge, goal race for me, or goal, maybe as much the qualifying part as it is the actual running of the race. Although I'm looking forward to running it every bit as much as I'm looking forward to qualify. But what was, what I'm getting at here is, anytime I run into somebody that's run Boston before, I always have to pick their brain on that, that experience a little bit. So what was Boston 2014 like for you?
So I've ran Boston twice, and the first time I ran it was 2009. Mm-hmm. And the second time I ran it was 2014. So I took a big break. And I actually went in 2012 as well as a spectator. So I've been quite a few times for the marathon. 2014 for me was just a fun race. Mm. I was coming off of some plantar fasciitis at that time. But I had a pretty major surgery in 2013, and then I had a follow-up surgery in January of 2014. And so I really wasn't in the place to get myself in shape to try to run super fast. So it was fun, because the reason I went is because of what happened in 2013, the bombings and everything. Like, I wanted to be a part of the community there, and I wanted to experience being a part of, nobody's being scared. Everybody's going to go back and celebrating the race, and really celebrating the lives of the people who lost their lives. So I just wanted to be there to experience the whole thing. So I kind of registered on a whim. I waited until pretty last minute to register. Mm-hmm. Like, I think my window, I could have registered way sooner. And then I just pulled the trigger last minute. And put out a couple tweets, like, I'm looking for some roommates, because I was going to by myself, because we had a son, and, you know, just the expense of my husband coming with was just a lot. So I got my plane tickets and found three girls from social media that I'd never met in person. And we, all four of us, stayed in a hotel room together. And then I met up with a couple, you know, I knew a bunch of people running. So I met up with a bunch of them, and we rode the buses out together. And I ran that race too, like, I went out too hard because it was fun. I knew I was running too fast, but, you know, all those downhills at Boston are really fun to just kind of let your body go down. And about halfway through, I, you know, I said, I need to reel it in and finish this race without walking. So I, you know, I ended up finishing, I think I ran like a 3:32 or something like that. But it was fun. It was just, I like going to Boston to just run for fun. I don't like racing at Boston.
I feel like I've heard that before from folks, that it's, you know, like it is, it can be the ultimate celebration if you let it, if you don't take it too serious.
It's, to me, it's not an ideal course for me to race on, because I live in Indianapolis, and we're about like as flat as city as you can get. You know, I can drive down to Bloomington, which is just an hour south of us, and get some really crazy awesome hills. And I did that when I was, you know, training or whatever for that race. I went and ran some hills just to have my legs and my quads know what that felt like again. But yeah, I just, it's a stressful morning kind of. It's like, you got to get up, even though the race starts later, you got to get up early, take these buses out to Hopkinton. And I mean, you're, by the time you start racing, you've been up for a really long time. You ride the bus for an hour, and then you sit in Athletes Village for an hour. And to me, it's just like, I'd rather race a marathon that starts at 7:30 or 8 a.m., you know? But yeah, it's fun. And it really is. People scream the entire way.
And I would imagine, if I can cut you off there real quick, that 2014, because of the bombing in 2013, was even more just crazy as far as support. And just, I mean, the environment was had to be amazing.
It was so crazy. Well, yeah. And the other time I ran was in 2009, which it was my second marathon. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, hey, I'm here, whatever. And I didn't even really pay attention to the crowd as much, because I just kind of felt lost. Like, I was like this little person in the sea of runners that all knew what they were doing. And in 2014, when I went, it was very much like, I felt like I was a part of the community and I knew what I was doing. And yeah, I think there were like, I want to say over a million more spectators than normally in 2014, though.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I remember when, you know, when the bombs went off in 2013 and whatnot, and it was just like, man, I wish that somehow I could be there next year, because I know it's going to be just ridiculous. It was, oh man, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I when that happened, I was at work, and I remember sitting in my office, and I saw a couple tweets about it, and I was like, what is this? And I ran into the guy that worked across the hall for me, and I'm like, hey, turn this on. This is not normal. Like, this, something's happening here. And then I had a bunch of people, like, you know, texting me like, are you there? Are you okay? You know, because people, you know, just random friends that didn't know and knew that I, you know, had been there before. Right. So. Yeah, it was a really cool experience. But Boston, to me, it's really time consuming, really expensive. And I've just never understood the people that go every single year, because there's so many other things and races I want to do, that to shell out that much money to do the same race every year. Like, I want to do it and I want to be a part of it. And I so respect that people want to go, but just to go every year, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, then you mentioned other things that you want to do. What kind of other races or events or things like that are on your to-do list?
Well, honestly, now that we have kids, so we have two little boys, I am all about racing local right now. We used to travel a lot for our races. Like, our first marathon was in San Diego, California. You know, we've gone to St. Louis, Virginia. Like, we just kind of like would pick races that were destination races and make a little trip of it. We have a really great race here though in Indianapolis called the Monumental Marathon. And I've ran it a couple times, but I've never really raced it for time, which was what I was planning to do last fall. So the next time I really race a marathon, if the timing works out and all that, I'll probably race Monumental. I like Chicago too, though, you know, and that's close to us. So yeah, that's and Monumental. We live right off the course, so I just like run those streets for everyday runs all the time.
So it makes it a little bit familiar when you get there and the actual race.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. It's your hometown. You're going to know a ton of people on the course that are spectating, and you'll know a lot of people running. I love spectating that race too. If I'm not running it for some reason, like this year, past year I didn't run it because I was injured. If I'm not running it, you better believe I will be out there cheering. And actually this past year, our house is on the half marathon course. Sadly, it's not on the full marathon course too, because I would love to see everybody, but we set up a water stop, like a fake one that wasn't, you know, with the race, and we handed out like PBRs and water and we had mimosas and made, you know, breakfast and invited neighbors over and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And was it late enough in the race that most people were hitting you up for the PBR or the mimosa?
Oh my gosh, we ran out of PBR. I was shocked. I bought, I think, like 36 beers or whatever. And then it was a little past mile 9. So it was a good point in the race. That's a really fun spot to cheer for a half marathon, I think. And our neighbors that live across the alley, they had a, you know, another 18 pack or something. So they're like, oh, we'll go get that. And so we were putting it in cups, but people weren't realizing it. And let's be honest, it's more fun if someone grabs a can of beer and like chugs it. But yeah, we ran out. And I was so sad because once, you know, it got to a certain point in the race, people saw the, you know, whatever we had the cans in, and they were like, where's the PBR? But I found out the party crowd is definitely like 2 hours to 2.5 hours. Like that's the party crowd in the half marathon. Those are the people that wanted the PBR.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're running, you know, a 1:30 or faster, something like that, like you're not stopping to choke down some carbonated beer. Like you're moving, you know? So
no, our first person that grabbed a beer was a girl. And I think I looked up her time cause I took a picture and had her bib number. She ran like a 1:37. So she was running fast. Yeah. And I knew who it was, and I had looked up her other time. So it wasn't like a personal best for her or anything. So she was probably running fast, but not, you know,
not killing
working
it
as hard as she possibly could. Yeah. Right. So yeah, it was super fun to do that though.
Yeah, the last marathon I ran was a couple years ago up in Virginia, the Blue Ridge Marathon, which is like, I mean, just mountain crazy. And there was the same type of thing where at one of the later, you know, of the big climbs, like it was all up and down, which, you know, I'm in Central Florida, so I feel you when it comes to training for hills.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, it's
yeah,
the same thing. I don't have anything here, but you know, we're going up and down all these big hills, and like this last one that I couldn't run it anymore. It was complete power hike up was the only option. But at the top of it, like the turnaround was like at the end of a cul-de-sac in a neighborhood, and they had a big old party going on. They had they said that there was beer, but I never saw any beer. I was looking for the beer. I was like, please give me a beer. I need a beer. But they did have champagne. So I did have a little bit of champagne, which helped a little bit, but you know, then you still realize you still got like 5 or 6 miles to go. And it wasn't the most, you know, if they would have been at mile, you know, 22, 23, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. Or even like 25 and a half.
Oh yeah. That would have been even better then. I mean, it would have been, I would have stopped for a little while and hung out at the party. But, you know, it is cool when you're running a race and you have people that are out and not only to support, which the support is great, but you know, kind of making something that you remember, whether it's a drink stop or you know, I mean, at that race too, there were a bunch of kids that were just out like handing out, you know, gummy bears and things like that, that weren't, you know, weren't official part of the race, but it was cool to just, you know, like they were still part of it. It was really a neat experience.
Yeah, and that's at Boston too. They always have random kids handing out oranges and ice and things like that. So yeah, that's so fun. And our homemade water stop, I was like, really important to me that we had good music playing. my husband's a music snob, but And that's kind of worn off on me a little bit, like rubbed off on me a little bit, but I wanted really good rap music. He would have preferred like My Morning Jacket, Pearl Jam, but I wanted Tupac and like Flo Rida.
That's awesome. You want stuff that's upbeat and gets people moving, you know, and having a good time.
I think we delivered. The only problem was I think I had it on a Pandora like Flo Rida station or something, and you know, I don't pay the premium, so every once in a
Oh,
while a
you get stuck
commercial
with a
comes
commercial.
on. Yes, and I'm like, I'm sorry, people. I swear our music's good.
Just hang out, have a little PBR, and there'll be another song here before too long, I
Right,
promise you.
exactly.
So, shifting gears from the running a little bit, you started a podcast recently called I'll Have Another, which I guess maybe that like fits in perfectly with talking about drinks. Like I'll have another. Like I don't know if that's what it's about or not, but
Right?
what was the impetus to start the podcast? What brought that about?
So last summer, I started listening to podcasts on my runs. I was pushing the double stroller quite a bit, and I don't like to wear headphones when I push the stroller, especially. So I just would set my phone out on top of it and listen to podcasts. And one in particular that I listen to all the time is called The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. It is not a running podcast at all. It's more of a women, oh, it's a faith-based podcast, but she interviews women who are usually entrepreneurs or, you know, someone doing something that's, you know, they're kind of like do-gooders, if I don't know, for lack of a better word. But anyway, she just has these conversations with these women, and I just end up feeling like I'm kind of in on the conversation. And so the more I listened to it, the more I was like, I could do this. And my show is sort of similar to hers, but it's running focused, whereas hers is kind of faith focused. So it's different, but the conversation style, you know, just like what we're having right now, is similar. Like you're just talking to a friend, and yeah, I talk about running with people, but my hope is that I won't have just runners on the show, that I'll have other, you know, other kind of guests that inspire me, motivate me, and hopefully motivate the people that are listening. And I prefer to have someone that's actually has like a bit of a sense of humor on the show as well.
I don't know why a sense of humor would be important if you're, you know, talking to somebody for half an hour, 45 minutes or whatever it
Right?
is. Like it's nice to laugh a little bit once in a while.
Yeah, and I like to, you know, I'll bring up on the show, like I was super into The Bachelor this season and just like kind of pop culture stuff too. So usually some of that gets tied into what we talk about. And you know, I've had a blog for a while, and I've never been one of those people that are super consistent on my blog, or you know, I just kind of write about my training, write about my life. And when I had kids, I started writing a little bit more about that, more so for myself than anything, so I can look back on it. I actually don't even have a like good baby book for either of my boys, so I can kind of look back on my blog and things like that. But the majority of my blog is running talk for the most part. But yeah, and you know, I had done some interviews for running related things, and I like to talk and I like to have conversations, so I just thought I'm gonna do it. But man, it was hard to get up and running. Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
there's a little more to it than what you think when you listen to, you know, 45-minute or an hour long show and you're like, oh, well, that must have taken like an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the most. And no, it's
Right.
little more to it than that.
Well, and you know, now that I'm all set up and have it live on iTunes and all that stuff, to me that was the hard part. Well, you know, there's going to be other hard parts too, but just it was so stressful for me to get all that tech side of things set up because I knew nothing. And it was a really big learning experience, and it was a growing experience for me too, because I definitely rely on my husband too much for things like, oh, he's really smart. Can you just set this up for me? Can you just do this for me? You know, for a long time before I started staying home with my boys at my work even, I would just, you know, my husband is a finance guy. He's an Excel wizard. He does all that stuff. I would have like, you know, some small finance thing I had to figure out at work, and I would just shoot him a spreadsheet and be like, hey, can you pretty this up for me? And just like, and he can whip it up in 5 minutes where it would take me 2 hours. So yeah, with the podcast, I kind of felt like you know, hey, just help me with this. You can look it up and get it done really fast, way faster than me. But he kind of took a backseat and was kind of like, this is your deal. You need to take ownership. You can do it. And he cheered me on, but he was not involved in the process. And so I kind of felt like, you know, it was this huge accomplishment when I finally launched it, and I did it all on my own.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. It is a lot of work, and it continues to be a lot of work, but I know, obviously, I mean, I'm 255 episodes in, so I obviously enjoy it, and hopefully you'll enjoy it, and you know, you can continue to do it, and it's I mean, like I said, I love it, so hopefully you'll find that same joy in it as well.
So how long ago did you launch yours then?
I started in July of 2014.
So you were like, you know, before, I feel like podcasts got super popular when Serial came out.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd started before Serial. I had a different show that I started in like February-ish of 2014, and kind of had these grand plans of, you know, I can do both of them at the same time, and then kind of dropped that one shortly after I started this one. But yeah, I wasn't at the beginning of the curve, but I was definitely before Serial, before it became super, or maybe not super popular, but at least more widespread. Like, now I don't have to as often explain what a podcast is to most folks.
Right. Well, and it's funny because when I, you know, had this idea, you know, I started really having the idea probably in November, I guess. Mm-hmm. Probably November. And, I started really working on it probably in January or February. Yeah, January. And, you know, I'd tell my parents, I'm going to start a podcast. And my dad would be like, why? What for? Like, what's the purpose? And my mom was like, I don't even really know what a podcast is. But I think a wide variety of people of different ages mm-hmm. listen to them. But I think very much our generation, you know, like, 20s, 30s, 40s, kind of that's a wide range, mm-hmm. but I feel like that's the demographic of that's listening to podcasts for the most part.
Well, yeah, and especially
I just made that up. But.
but I mean, I think it makes sense because that's the folks that have, you know, are all in, at least as far as like having a phone and having, you know, a smartphone mm-hmm. that's capable. Cause like totally. My folks don't have, my dad doesn't have a cell phone at all. And my mom has a flip phone. So like,
yeah.
like neither of them have any idea what a podcast is or what, you know, the world of possibilities. And that's what I always tell folks is like, you know, if you don't, you know, if I'm talking to somebody like, oh, what are you doing? I have this podcast, well, what's that? And it's, you know, explain a little bit. And then like, oh, well, that sounds cool. But you know, I'm not much of a runner. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like there's a million shows out there. Like you can find whatever you're interested
right.
in, like find it. And then like, you'll find another one and you'll find something else, you know, an NPR show or a this show or that show, something that's funny or entertaining or educational. Like there's so many things out there. Like the world's your oyster when you get into iTunes, and you can get lost in iTunes for a long time if you're not careful.
I know. Well, and what I try to tell people, like especially my mom, is I was trying to tell her, you don't feel like you have to just sit down in the living room
yes.
and turn on a podcast like you're watching TV. Like I listen to them when I run, when I drive, I don't really ever cook, but if I did cook, I would listen to it when I cook. And I just like leave my phone on and listen to it. Like you're never, for the most part, just sitting there mm-hmm. listening to the podcast.
Here's the question for you that'll really show how much of a podcast junkie you are. Have you graduated up from normal speed yet? Meaning, are you at 1.5 or like 2x speed or anything like that?
Oh, no. Nope. I'm just all normal,
Go ahead.
I need to get better at that. Like listening back to my own episodes when I'm editing, since I'm so new at it, I'm kind of very carefully listening back. But yeah, I need to listen back and do things like that way faster and save more time.
yeah, I mean, I can't do it for editing. Like when I'm editing and writing show notes and things like that, I still listen to it at normal speed. But when I am,
oh, you do, okay.
The shows that I listen to, you know, the polished or you know the presented shows, pretty much everything's on 2x speed, and it was an adjustment period. Like I had to graduate up to that. But man, like you know, when you can buzz through an hour long show in 30 minutes or less, like. You can churn through lots and lots and lots of podcasts that way, which is
and that doesn't drive you crazy?
No.
The speed?
No, not at all. It's in fact now if I try to listen to something that's not sped up, that drives me crazy because it's so slow.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now, do you put out a show once a week?
I do 3x a week. So I go.
Oh wow, that's intense.
Yeah, I go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday and Wednesday, which everybody that's listening to this is well aware of, are the interviews, and then Fridays are just a short solo kind of. I call them quick tips. So it's something some kind of running tip thing that I can spit out in 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, cool.
So,
very cool.
So yeah, so it's, but you know, I'm subscribed to probably 35 or 40 shows, and for the most part I stay on top of all of them because it's just,
oh wow,
you know, like, but like you said, I mean, I'm walking the dog, I'm running, I'm driving somewhere,
right?
I'm,
you're doing something.
I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and so like instead of listening to music, which I do that sometimes as well, but instead of music most of the time, it's you know, this podcast. Or, you know, I've got different ones that I'll listen to when I'm running because I can be more, a little bit more focused, or when I'm driving it's a little bit more ambient, not ambient, but it's something that I don't need to focus on. I'm not listening to businessy type stuff as often then, or you know, just different things, short shows for when I'm walking the dogs. But I love it. I can't get enough of the podcast medium, and I'm so glad that I found it, and you know, I'm able to be a part of it as well.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I have a lot to learn still, though. I really do.
Well, but I mean, it's just like, you know, that's running. That's everything. Like,
yes.
Once you think you've learned it all, like something new comes along, and you got more to learn at that point.
Exactly.
So I have to ask though, where did the title come from? Where did I'll Have Another come from?
So I was brainstorming forever, and nobody was helping me get. Like, I sent out an email to like 40 people. I was, you know, that I thought, okay, these people have good marketing minds, or they're runners or whatever. Well, the problem was I sent it out to mostly runners. So Everybody was giving me a running title. And for me, I don't want, it is going to be a lot of running talk, but that's not going to be the only thing. And so I was afraid that if there was running in the title, that it would keep people away that weren't necessarily runners. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was specifically thinking about like my sister-in-laws. Like, they're the type of people that could like the show and be interested in it, but they don't run. And if they saw that title and it wasn't me, you know, they would probably look at it and say, eh, that's a running podcast. So I have my blog is called Out for a Run. And So naturally people were like, why don't you just go with that? Like that, you know, you already have that brand or whatever. But it just wasn't sitting well with me. So I was actually had a texting conversation with my sisters. I have two sisters, and we had like 100 different names. We were just throwing out everything, anything that sounded stupid, good, whatever. I'm just like, just say anything. And my younger sister actually came up with the title, I'll Have Another. And I was actually, my two favorites that we came up with, and she came up with both of them, was I'll Have Another or Make It a Double. And so I loved I'll Have Another though, because to me it's like, I'll have another beer, I'll have another mile, I'll have another hour of alone time with my kid, without my kids, you know, just like, what do you want another of, and what do you want to spend your time doing? And I thought it was light and funny, so that's where it came from.
Gotcha. Well, and it, you know, it makes sense because of the fact that you're not just running, which I think, I mean, I'm not just running either, although my title wouldn't necessarily recognize that, but you know, I'll have another episode of The Bachelor, since that was something that you were into, or whatever it might be. Like yeah, it's just, you know, what things that you enjoy that you would want more of. Like, you know, I like it. It's one of those things that it takes a little bit of explaining, but once you get, which mine does too, which is a terrible marketing strategy of having a name that needs to be explained, but once it's explained, It makes perfect sense.
Well, I know, and that's what I thought, you know, when I was kind of brainstorming like the mission, or, you know, whatever, the elevator pitch, the three paragraph, you know, description on my blog, like all that stuff. I kind of just was like, everything was a shot in the dark, and I was just making this all up as I went, and, you know, just like drafted it up, and then I'd go back and I'd edit it a day later, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, and then I started trying to figure out what I wanted to say in my intro to the show, which on the first four episodes I launched with, I kind of gave the long spiel of what the show is, in case, you know, somebody downloaded all four and they wanted to listen to number four first or whatever. And I wondered, I was like, do I have to explain what I'll Have Another is? But it ended up, I think, sounding pretty natural, and I think it's good. But yeah, I thought about that when I just pulled the trigger. I was like, this is kind of weird because I feel like I have to explain it.
Well, but at some point you just have to pull the trigger, and you can always adjust later, you know?
Well, and that is so true. And that's kind of like the only reason this thing even got launched, because it was little things like, you know, your intro music. Mm-hmm. And I just went to, I forget what the website was called, but where you just pick an already pre-made, you know, song up, and I listened to like 10 of them, and my friend sat down with me and she was like, you just got to pick one. Mm-hmm. Like, just go with it. It's, you know, this is not going to make or break your show. Just like, just pick one. So
exactly.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, I'm not going to spend more than 30 minutes on this little piece. Like, I like this beat. It's fine, but I'm not going to sit here for 2 days and mull over it.
I was gonna say, yeah, those websites have thousands of songs
oh
and stuff
God.
On them. Like,
she
there's no way.
Different. Yeah. Yeah.
What has been your favorite part of the podcast so far?
Well, it's funny because, you start talking beforehand, you know, and just like you do, I'm sure, I come up with like 10 or so questions that I kind of have in my head that I'm going to talk to the person about. But what I love most is just, it just ends up turning it into a conversation, mm-hmm. just like we're doing right now. And it's, you know, we end up getting off track or talking about, you know, random fun things. And I do kind of like stick to some of my questions. Like there are a couple really important things depending on who I'm talking to that I'm like, I definitely want to talk to her about this. But listening back to the conversations and how naturally they actually are flowing and how I'm having fun. And beforehand it was like, can I get to 45 minutes with you know, what if there's an awkward pause or will I have enough to say or will they have enough to say? And I've actually gone over every single time. Mm. So, you know, the goal for me, and I think that your show is your show 45 minutes
ish. Yeah. Somewhere in the 45 minutes to an hour.
Right. So like, that's what my goal is. But I've only had one that's gone under an hour mm-hmm. when I went live. And my last one was like an hour and 25 minutes. That is way too long. But, yeah, so clearly we're not running out of things to talk about.
Right. But way too long says who? Like, you know, who?
Well, that's true.
You know, if somebody's run finishes, they can press pause and pick it up next time,
that's
or they can listen in the car. I mean, whatever, you know.
And that doesn't bother me when I listen to other shows. There is one show that I had listened to a couple times, and some of her episodes went on to about 2 hours and 15 minutes, and that was too long for me.
So see, that's where you got to listen on 2x speed, because now it's only an hour and five
yeah.
minutes, and like it's not a big deal.
Well, and it depends on the topic
right,
too.
Right.
Like there are certain shows that could work, but you know, at some point the conversation might get a little bit boring, and if it's boring at all, if you're going for 2 hours, that's a long time.
Yes, yes, I agree. So, in an effort to keep it from getting boring, and dragging on
yes.
for another hour, as we're kind of approaching the 45 minute to an hour
oh,
range
wow.
here, let's kind of start wrapping things up. One way that I always love to kind of finish things up, and I think maybe this will be we'll see. We'll throw this out there and see where
okay.
it ends. Future goals. What kind of the running future look like for you? Whether it's
okay.
it's, you know, bucket list races or time goals or, you know, any plans that you have. Although I know kind of coming off of injury, maybe it's still a little bit foggy at the moment. But kind of looking long term, what are some of your future goals for running?
So I definitely, a big goal for me is to break 3 hours in the marathon, which I honestly haven't raced a marathon since 2013. I've ran marathons since then, but I haven't raced.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, kind of my goal this past fall was to break 3:05. I think in my head I was going to be in shape for like 3:04 to 3:08 kind of range, depending on the weather and all mm-hmm. the circumstances. But to chip that away, and ultimately I really want to break 3 hours. I want to do that. And I'm 32, and it's funny because, you know, I feel like a lot of runners peak like in their early to mid 30s mm-hmm. or whatever. So I see that happening. Maybe I'm 36. I don't know when that'll happen, but I see that happening sometime in this decade. And that's my big time goal. As far as shorter distances, I don't really have big time goals. Like, sure, I want to, you know, I think my 5K PR is like 19:24 or something, mm-hmm. and it was on a really hot day at 6 p.m. in the evening. So,
so not the best conditions.
Right. And so, like, I want to break 19 minutes, but I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that'll be an insane goal to do, especially when if I'm in 3:05 marathon shape, mm-hmm. you know? But just, you know, with running, to have fun with it. And that's the thing. I've never been the kind of person that runs every marathon to race. Mm-hmm. I love to just run for fun. I've ran 2 marathons with people that it was their first marathon, and it was just to support them and enjoy the race with them. I'd like to run a marathon with a stroller someday.
Hmm.
I've done, insanely enough, I was pretty hardcore after my first son was born. I ran a marathon when he was only 4 months old.
Wow.
I know it was, I don't know what I was thinking. Looking back now, like after I had my second, I'm like, what was I thinking? But I only did one 20-mile training run leading up to that race because that's really all I had time for after my recovery and everything. And I did it with the stroller. So it was really hard, but so I've covered 20 miles with the stroller. I don't think I want to try to do a marathon with the double stroller, but the double is so much harder than the Seiko. But I'd love to do that, and I think I could run a decent time with the stroller just because I put in so many stroller miles. And then, yeah, I don't know. Oh, I want to do a 50 miler for sure. That was kind of one of my, I was thinking about doing that last summer, and then I got into the started marathon training, and I thought this isn't the right time to do that. But my husband kind of does ultras, and I think when I do my 50, he might do 100. So he's kind of a step different level than me on that. But I think that I want to get into the ultra scene just a little bit. I don't want that to be my thing forever, but I definitely want to do a 50.
Just get a little taste of it.
Yeah, and there's also not as many. It's not as competitive for females, you know. There's just not as many. You're just like as a road marathon. So I think I could probably compete pretty well in the ultra scene if I put my mind to it and trained right.
Definitely, definitely. You know, when you're talking about the strollers, the first thing that came to my mind was you better do that soon because as the younger son keeps getting older, that's just going to keep getting harder and harder to push him.
Well, the key is going to be when to do it and who to do it with, right? Because what age makes the most sense? Who's going to be more likely to sit in the stroller?
For 3 hours or so, yeah, three and a half.
Right, exactly. Yeah, three. Probably. I don't know. I guess I could probably run like if I really maybe like a 3:45 with the stroller if I worked really hard. But and we want to have more kids too, so that's always like you know timing that in between races and things like that. So down the road, who knows? It might be a third kid that gets pushed in the stroller
There you go, there
marathon.
you go. And then it's
Or
finding
I
a
could
race that'll
run
oh, I'm sorry. And then, as I say, then it's finding a race that'll allow the marathons because or the strollers because that can be an issue too.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's very many. And the thing about it too is they'll want you to start in the very back, which is fine. We do a race every Thanksgiving that's called the Drumstick Dash, and it's like 20,000 people
Oh, wow.
register, probably 18 that actually do the race. And they want strollers to start in the back, but like we never do because to start in the very back, that's people walking like 25 minute miles. And we're, you know, we don't run it fast. We're just having a fun family race to start Thanksgiving, but we run like, you know, 8 minute miles or something. So I'm like, we're not starting back there. We'll never even be able to start running until mile three. So we always kind of sneak in and try to stay out of everybody's way, but yeah, I think it's hard to find a race like that. I did a half marathon in Bloomington, Indiana, a couple weeks ago, and there was a half and a 5K in the same race, and the 5K hadn't split yet. And this guy ran by us up the pushing a stroller up a hill, but it wasn't a jogging stroller. It was like an umbrella stroller.
Oh my.
And I was thinking, I hope he's only doing the 5K because that could not be comfortable. I mean, it would not be an easy stroller to push.
No, gosh, I couldn't even imagine. Like, I mean, I wouldn't I
Right.
oh, no, thank you. No, thank you at all. All right, so last thing, we'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned and I agree with you too. Like, I don't race every you know, I don't run every race as a race. Sometimes it's good to run for fun. What's been your most fun marathon experience?
Oh gosh. That's a hard one.
Save those hard ones for last. That's a trick you'll
I
learn.
know. Well, there's been so many. It's so tough. And it's funny because I've been on kind of a hiatus because I ran so many marathons in like kind of a short amount of time, and now with like babies and surgeries, I've kind of slowed it down, and I'm gonna pick it back up though. I would say my marathon PR just like, you know, looking back is the most fun because it's most fun to look back and see how hard you worked and what you did during that race to make it successful and how you were, you know, I can specifically remember in that race, it was extremely windy. It was in Virginia Beach. And I think it's the Shamrock Marathon's always windy, but this was an insanely windy race. And just the decisions I made, like at the beginning of the race, I knew I was running faster than I should be, but we were running with a tailwind. So it was like, well, I have to adjust for that because I'm going to be running into the wind later on in the race. And I packed up with this big group of guys. There was probably like 15 of us. And I knew they were shooting for, I think they were all trying to run like a 3:10 or something. And I just thought, this is the smartest thing to do right now because if I stay packed up with them, I'm not going to be working as hard. So I ran with those guys probably to mile 17 or 18, and everybody kind of split off and just kind of, died into the finish line. I don't remember where they all ended, but and I remember specifically like points in that race. I think mile 14, I had a moment where I was like, damn, I'm working way too hard right now for mile 14 because we had just come off the boardwalk and we had been running straight into the wind. But this girl, I mean, it's just like, people make marathon signs. This girl had a sign that said, trust your training. And so I specifically remember thinking back to, we have a trail in Indianapolis called the Monon Trail, and that's where I did a lot of my runs. Pushing the stroller on like, 16-mile runs into a headwind and thinking, I did that then with my kid who might have been crying or whatever. Like, if I'm gonna hurt, now's the time to do it, and I can do this. I can push through the rest of this race. So I would probably say that doesn't sound like fun, right? But just looking back, like celebrating that experience, that was probably the most fun.
Yeah, well, and that's, to me, that sign, that's one of the, like, I'm a sucker for the fun signs, the happy, the things that make you laugh. But that's like, and for you, I mean, perfect timing, perfect location for the right message. Like, bam, like that's just a simple sign, but whoa,
And she didn't know that affected me,
of course
but
not.
like I looked at it and I really thought about it, and it was like a mental battle to get through that next mile. And I kind of started feeling better and getting back in, out of my head to like just focus on the race. And I thought about that because you think about, oh my gosh, I worked so hard doing mile repeats or whatever, and I was practically throwing up at the end of that workout. Why would I not make myself work that hard today? Because today is the reason I did that.
Right. Well, that's unless you're the goal is just to have fun, in which case, whatever. But yeah, when you're trying to push it, like, what, you did the hard work. Now it's time to enjoy the fruits of that labor, even though that means you're gonna have to push a little bit and hurt a little bit now. It's worth it in the end. And so then looking back on it makes it for a good memory and a sense of accomplishment too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. And I mean, for sure, running races just for fun. Those the in the fun the funny signs are funny for, races where you're trying hard and races where you're just running for fun. But I've probably at least half the marathons I've ran were just honestly for fun or just because. So yeah, I like that too.
Well, good deal. Well, good deal. Well, I think we could probably keep going, but again, at the risk of not going on and on and on and on and on forever, we need to put a bow on this at some point. So let's do it there. Guys, once again, lindseyhine.com, Lindsey with an E, Lindsey with an E. I didn't mention that earlier. And Hine, Hein.com. Links in the show notes, disruns.com/255. And don't forget to check out I'll Have Another. Wherever you listen to this podcast, it's probably available there, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. Look for it. Definitely worth checking out and getting a little bit more, getting another taste of Lindsey. Once a week or so, something like that, Lindsey? Is that what your schedule is?
Yep, every Friday.
Every Friday. So you can get a quick tip from me and then have a longer show to listen to, a good conversation with Lindsey and whoever she's chatting with that day on your run on Friday or the weekend or whatever it looks like. So Lindsey, thanks for joining us today. Definitely appreciate it. Glad we were able to connect, and all the best to you and recovery from the plantar fascia tear and everything else that's going on in the future. Nothing but the best, and I look forward to staying in touch as we go along as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Lindsey and myself, and it was a little all over the place, but that's kind of just how we like it around here. It's fun to go back and forth, and she even got some questions in and interviewed me for part of it, which is fantastic. So as always, I'd love to hear what stood out to you. What was the thing from this conversation that made a lasting impact, that was your big takeaway? For me, I think it was the importance of having fun with our running. Obviously, Lindsey's a fun person. She likes to laugh, and we chatted before the podcast started and after we stopped recording. Lots of laughing and shooting the breeze. But a couple of things that stood out to me from the conversation. Obviously, the PBR party during the race. With the beer and the mimosas and the music and just setting things up, and that's just fun. you know, and the things that she was saying about, you know, she doesn't race that often, but she might run races, but she doesn't race races, and she likes to run to have fun. And I think that's something that, that I lose sight of sometimes, in my desire for qualifying for Boston and my desire for running a race in every state. Sometimes I put too much pressure maybe on myself for time goals and, you know, really strive towards racing. And I want to get this time. I want to set this PR. I want to, you know, I want. And I sometimes forget to just relax and to just have fun and maybe take the headphones out and talk to some other runners or enjoy the scenery or just whatever fun might be for that particular race. And it was something that we talked about today and kind of kept coming up. We came up talking about the podcast. It came up talking about Boston. It came up talking about, obviously, again, her race that's in Indianapolis, the Monument Marathon. Just have fun sometimes. And so that's going to be my takeaway for today is try to remember for myself to have fun more at the races that I run, and not always try to push hard and go for, you know, a certain time goal or whatever, you know, and take it so seriously. Just relax, just have fun. So I'd love to hear what your takeaways are. What stood out to you? Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns, shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com, or best yet, head over to DizRuns.com/255, which is the show notes for this episode. And you can go ahead and leave a comment there. And that way, you know, people can jump into the conversation, you know, today, tomorrow, and shoot, next year. You know, people are always finding back episodes of the show. And, you know, maybe they'll listen to it in 2017 and something will stick out. And we can keep the conversation going the best through the comments in the show notes. So whatever method works best for you, I always love to get the feedback, and I really love hearing what stood out to you from each conversation. So please feel free to take a moment, if you don't mind, and share your insights with me. It's always much appreciated. And with that, let's put a bow on this thing. Let's wrap this thing up. Don't forget runningwiththebears.org. If you're interested in a race in August, I'd love to be able to meet you and chat with you and run with you. And do your training plan for you. So head over to runningwiththebears.org, sign up, take one of those charity slots, raise some money for a great organization, and let me know, and I'll be happy to start working on that training plan for you. We're just about at, I don't know the exact numbers, but we're right about at 16 weeks right now. So it's time. If you're thinking about doing it, if you're able to do it, let's do it and let's run this race together. And if not, you know, no big deal. Another time for sure. But thanks for listening, guys. I do appreciate it. It means a lot that you take, you know, a couple hours out of your week to listen to me talk with some other folks, and it's always great to hear back from you guys. So keep the comments coming, keep the emails and the tweets and all that good stuff. Always appreciated. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and definitely look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.